If you don't, you can listen. Tonight we're going to look at the Bible concerning the subject of a matter of obedience. Now, Jesus Christ came to set man free. Jesus Christ died so that we could be saved, we could be sanctified, redeemed, call it what you want, we could be made a child of God. There's two parts to salvation. The first part is getting yourself in a place where you become a child of God. And the second part is, once you are a child of God, what are you going to do now? It's like there's two parts to a baby. Baby gets born. That's one part. That's the easy part. Now the baby has to grow up, learn things, and depending on that baby and how it develops and its obedience to its teachers, that will determine how the child turns out in life. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad, but when you enter into the family of God, you confess Jesus as your Lord and you believe that God raised him from the dead, when you enter into the family of God, then what are you going to do? Are you going to grow up in the Word of God? Are you going to follow the Word of God? Or are you just going to be a baby for the rest of your life? So do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ is basically my question. And everybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but that's your goal, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Sure.
That means we want to obey God. We want to obey what Jesus would have us to do. And in Colossians, you're already there in chapter 3. And in verse 16, the scripture says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." See? That's why we sing in fellowship, because the Word of God tells us to. And we all want to be followers of Jesus Christ, right? So that's why we sing. That's why we teach. It says teaching and admonishing one another. That's why we teach, because the Scriptures tell us to. It says admonishing one another. You know what that means? It means building one another up, not calling each other names and beating each other up. You admonish one another. See? Look at Mark chapter 16, please. Mark 16 has been referred to by the Christian world as the Great Commission. And it was one of the things, among others, that Jesus Christ told his disciples, he told his followers to do. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, this is something that we want to consider. In Mark chapter 16, in verse 14, or verse 15, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to" what? "Every creature." Well, it doesn't mean that you preach to dogs and cats and caterpillars. That's not what a creature is. It's talking about people. "Go into all the world." See the word all, A-L-L? "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to" what? "Everybody." Every person who will listen. And the ones that won't listen, they'll tell you they don't want to listen. And you know what? We live in America, and it's their privilege not to want to listen. It's also their privilege to go to hell if they want. It's man's decision. Everybody counts for one. They make their own decision. Your job is to make the word available to people. How people respond is not your job. Word says in the book of Corinthians, regarding Paul, "I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase." God is the individual that has to work in the person's heart. When the word is spoken, that could be planting. When the word is encouraged, that could be watering. But unless God is in the mix, unless God is allowed to work in the individual's heart, in the quietness of their soul, in the quietness of their thoughts, when they're alone at night, when they're sleeping on their pillow, when there's nobody else around, that little voice, that little urging calling you to God, calling you to learn more about Jesus, working inside of you, unless God is in the mix, things won't work. And unless you allow God to be in the mix, they won't work either. For God is a gentleman, and he will not overstep your right to thumb your nose at him. God wants to love you. He wants to make his word available to you. But if you say no, God will respect your free will decision, because he respected Adam and Eve's free will decision when they decided to sin instead of obeying him. And he's been respecting mankind's free will decision ever since. But no one is excluded. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, everyone. No one's excluded in God's sight. You know why? Because God is colorblind. Because God looks upon what? The heart. That's what the scripture says. He looks upon the heart. Jesus told his followers to go into the world and to do what he commanded. And one of the things that he commanded was to preach the gospel. Look at verse 16 of chapter 16. He that believeth, he that believeth what? The preached gospel. Verse 15 says, go preach the gospel. Speak the word. Teach the word. Now, he that believes, he that believes the scriptures that's being spoken, the gospel that is being preached, and is baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. Right? Now, whose choice is that? The individual's. It's not God's heart. The word says that God would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. You understand? But he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will what? Be condemned or be damned. Who made the decision if the person gets saved? And who makes the decision if the person gets damned? The person does. The person does. How do they make the decision? By what? Believing what? The gospel. That's what it says. That's what it means. See how simple that is? You don't have to have 37 degrees to understand that. It's very simple. Now look at verse 17. It goes on a little further. And these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. Don't believe. Doubt. Say, I hear about this again sometime, maybe next year. No. These signs follow them that what?
Believe.
Believe. Signs follow believers. That's all. Signs follow believers. If you believe, the word says signs will follow. Here are some of the signs that Jesus said will follow. Now, this is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ spoke the truth?
Yes.
Right? He's not a liar, is he? You wouldn't call him a liar to his face, would you? No. He spoke the truth. Now, this is what Jesus said. This is going to be one of the signs that are going to follow. In my name, they shall cast out what? Devils. That's to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus Christ. That type of a sign follows a person who believes. They shall speak with new tongues, manifesting the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Now look at verse 18. They shall pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now look. They shall pick up serpents. Okay? That's what it says there. And then it says, and if they should drink any deadly thing. The and if actually belongs in the beginning of the verse. Because nowhere in the scriptures, anywhere from Genesis to Revelation, is an individual ever instructed to pick up a serpent and worship Jesus Christ like that. It's not done. You see, the word says, the understanding of it is, if they shall pick up a serpent, or if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. What shall not hurt them? The serpent or the deadly thing that they would pick up by accident. Remember in the book of Acts, Paul was gathering some sticks for a fire, and a viper came out of the sticks and fastened himself on his arm, and he just shook it off into the fire, and they looked at him, and they said, he's going to die. And then about an hour went by, and they says, it's a miracle. That's picking up a serpent by accident. Look at Luke chapter 10. Jesus never instructs us or instructs anybody to pick up a serpent. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to pick up serpents. No, to do what? To tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means what? Say, nothing's going to hurt you. Nothing's going to harm you. Jesus never instructs people to pick them up. Just the opposite. Go back to Mark chapter 16, please. In Mark 16, back in verse 17 again, these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. What do they have to believe? The verse before said what? Preaching of the gospel. When they hear the word preached, when they hear the gospel preached, they have a decision to make. Right? Sure. There was a time in my life where I was exposed to hearing the gospel preached. Now, I went to church all my life, and I heard bits and pieces of religion. And I'm not against any church, nor am I for any particular church or denomination. I'm just telling you that there's a lot of religion in Christianity. And Christianity is not about religion. Religion is what man puts into Christianity. Religion is the bells and whistles that man says has to come with Christianity. Christianity is what the Word of God says is right. Okay? If the Word teaches it, then we can stand upon the Word. If man teaches it, we can't be sure sometimes. And that should be evidence enough by all the different churches and denominations that we have out there. We have one Bible, one God, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one Holy Spirit. And how many churches do we have? About 100 million or whatever, right? Oodles and oodles. And why is that? Because people make rules and regulations. People want to do this, and people want to do that, and people just can't get along. They don't want to come back to the Word and do what the Word says. These signs shall follow them that believe. That believe. When I was a young man, I was a bad boy, did a lot of bad things. And one time I got to the place in my life where I was confronted with the scripture. And I had an opportunity to change. I had a chance to change my life. And because of the things that I was involved with and the evil that I was doing, I would have been facing serious jail time had I been convicted of the crimes which I did, by the way, commit. Okay, but God saw it fit to reach down and send someone to speak about him. At first, I didn't listen to this person. I just thought he was goofy because he was always happy all the time and smiling and positive. And you know, the world's not happy, smiling, and positive. The world's full of bitterness, hatred, and vengeance. Just look at the newspaper or watch Oprah or somebody. People make a living out of that kind of stuff. So he kept speaking about this God guy and this Jesus guy and this love stuff and how God could fix this and how he could help me here and if I would pray. And I didn't know how to pray. My prayer was a McDonald's prayer. Hold them pickles, hold the lettuce. That's Burger King, right? you go there. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset. Hold the pickles, and that was my prayer. I was taught to pray like that. You know, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, our kingdom come, God. Our Father out in heaven, that's how I was taught to pray. I never learned that praying is simply talking to God. That's real, genuine prayer. It's not reading a rehearsed line over and over again. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 6 says, don't pray like that. Matthew chapter 6 says, don't use vain repetitions when you pray. You know what a vain repetition is? You know what a vain repetition is? You know what a vain repetition is? Okay, that's what it teaches us. Don't use them when you pray. It teaches us to pray from the heart. So I started to pray to God to help me. And God listened to me. He worked in my life. He worked in my situation. And you know what? I was thankful that God helped me. Now, some people pray to God like Santa Claus. December comes around, they start praying. December 25th comes, they get everything they want, and you know what? They forget about God until next December. I didn't pray to God that way. I prayed to God, and I asked him for help. And once he helped me, you know how I responded? I was thankful. That was the next thing that I did. I was thankful. And because I was thankful, I wanted to learn more about this God who would help me when I was just a bad person. I was bad. I did bad things. My life wasn't where it should have been. And normally, you get rewarded on the basis of your behavior, right?
Sure.
But had God dealt with me on the basis of my behavior, then it'd have been elevator down. But he didn't deal with me on the basis of my behavior. He dealt with me after his love and his mercy. And you know why he was able to do that? Because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for me. Jesus Christ took my punishment upon him so I wouldn't have to be punished. Jesus Christ took my beating when he was beat and whipped before the crucifixion upon him so I wouldn't have to be beaten and whipped. Jesus Christ took the nails in his hands and the crown of thorn on his head. He was my substitution, so I wouldn't have to take the nails and the crown of thorn. And you want to know what else? He did that for each one of you in this room and for each person that's going to hear this teaching. Look at Psalm 103. That's mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is the withholding of judgment. It's when you deserve something and you don't get it. That's mercy. It's when you steal something and the person catches you and they say, you know what, don't do that again. Instead of hauling you off to prison. That's mercy. You teach people mercy. You should teach your family mercy. We should extend mercy one to another. Mercy was extended to me tonight. I was accused of stealing someone's coffee cake, crumb cake. Now, I was offered this crumb cake, and this individual, who I won't mention his name, Stephen, left the room after offering me a piece of crumb cake, and I said, no, thank you, but then I changed my mind, and I took it to work, and I shared it with my brother. And then when he came home, you know where he went looking for? The crumb cake. There was no crumb cake.
Is there a tomato and a dog
in your No. The dog had nothing to do with it. The only dog here is a two-legged dog. But mercy was extended to me because I ate the crumb cake. That's mercy. You take something, and instead of getting whacked for it, you get forgiven for it. Look at Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Isn't that a wonderful verse? But see, here's the key. All that is within me. You know, do you ever love someone this much? Or did someone ever love you this much when you wanted to be loved this much? Right? This is the way we should love God. This is the way we should bless God this much. all that is within me, every fiber of my being, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, all that is within me, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, verse 2, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget what God has done for you. Even if it's a simple prayer that he's answered, don't forget that. And the devil's going to whisper in your ear and he's going to say, forget, forget, forget. That was just a coincidence. That was just good luck. And they want you to dismiss it to that so you forget about God. Look at verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Isn't that a wonderful verse? What's that verse say? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Is there anything that you could do that God would not forgive you for? Is there anything now that can separate us from God? No. He forgives all thine iniquities. All you have to do is ask. Repent of it. Confess it. Say, I'm sorry, Father. Blew it. Made a mistake. I'll be better next time. Everything, that's mercy. That's forgiveness. You don't have to be scared of God. God doesn't want to beat anybody. He wants to love people. Who healeth all thy what? Diseases. Is there any disease that is excluded in that verse? It's still, we see the little word with a big meaning, A-L-L, all. Preach, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy what? All thy diseases. This is the kind of God we have. We have a God that wants to forgive us, wants to bless us, wants to heal us. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. That's where I was. I was young man, 20, 21, facing prison time. I was destroying my life. But you know what God did? He stepped in and he redeemed my life from destruction. He redeemed my life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender what? Mercy. He gave me mercy. When I deserved to go to jail, he said, I got something better for you. You're going to have to serve me. That's what he said. Then I want you serving in prison. I want you serving me. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in what? Mercy. That's God. Aren't you glad? He's not sitting there with a button. One of them kind of games, they got to hit that button. What's that called?
Whack-a-mole.
Whack a person. God's not going to whack us. He's not sitting there ready to. He's slow. He's slow to anger. Does that say he doesn't get angry?
No.
But he's what? He's slow to anger. But I will tell you this. When you tick God off, that's not a good place to be. Because then the judgment of God follows. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. How do you like that? Listen to me. God knows where you were last night. He knows where you were last week. He knows who you were with. He knows what you did. He knows what you think. He knows what you're thinking right now, and he knows what you're going to do tomorrow and for the rest of your life. He knows this. You know why? Because he's God. And you want to know something? It says he has not dealt with us after our sins. Praise God for that, because none of one of us are perfect. You understand? But God doesn't deal with us after our sins. He doesn't deal with us after our human side, our imperfections. And the word says that he has not rewarded us according to our iniquity. When you get a reward for something, you earn it, right? Can you imagine walking up to the throne room of God and the announcers off to the side saying, now entering the throne room is so-and-so. And he's going to be rewarded according to his iniquities. He stole. He's a thief. He's a liar. He cheats on his wife. She cheats on her husband, etc., 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 etc. He smokes dope, shoots drugs, gets high. Here's your reward. How would you like to be rewarded according to your iniquities? Wouldn't be good, right? God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. You understand? You know why he doesn't do that? It's not because he's dumb or he doesn't see you. But this is what happens with God. God sees you bigger than you see yourself. When God looks at you and you're his child, you know what he sees in you? He sees Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the mediator. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is your substitution. When you deserve to be beat, when you deserve to be whipped, when you deserve to be rewarded according to your iniquities, you know what Jesus Christ says? God comes out and Jesus Christ says like this. And God sees the nail prints in his hands, and he sees the mark in his head, and he sees the stripes and whip marks on his back, and he says, okay, son, there's mercy. When we do something done and the judgment of God's ready, Jesus says, he was our substitution. He took it and laid it all on Jesus. Jesus took your pain. Jesus took your punishment. Jesus took your sins. And you know what he did? He nailed them to the cross. He took them and he nailed them to the cross. You know why he did that? Because he loved you. You didn't even know him. You may have used his name in vain. You may have said bad things to him. But you want to know something? He still loved you. And you know why God let him do that? Because God loved you. That's love. You can't buy that love. You can't earn that love. That love is a free gift. And it's given to you. And that's the kind of love that is powerful. That's the kind of love that can heal your heart. That's the kind of love that can give you direction in your life. That's the kind of love and guidance that can clear your mind and set you on a path where God and then lead you for the rest of your life. Why? Because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. For as high as the heavens is above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Fear is an old English word. It means respect. So great is his mercy towards them that respect him. Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So far as the east is from the west. See this? This represents the globe of the world. If you go up, you go up north. And you keep going north, and you keep going north till you get to what?
North Pole.
And you want to know something? At some point at the North Pole, you know what you have to start to do? You start going where? Going south. See, north meets south, eventually. North meets south. Now, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It doesn't say as far as the north is from the south, because the north is pretty far from the south, but eventually they do meet. You go south enough, you know what happens? You wind up going north. You go north enough, you wind up going south. But the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. So if this is east, and you keep going east, and you keep going east, let me ask you a question. Does this ever turn in the west going this way? No, never. You see, the east never meets the west, never. And that's the greatness of what this verse is teaching us. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You want to talk about being squeaky clean? You want to talk about God forgiving you? He's forgiven you. He's removed as far as the east is from the west. The point is that the east never meets the west. That's pretty far, right? Well, let me ask you a question. If God has forgiven your sins, that's upside down. I'm upside down. If God has forgiven your sins as far as the east is from the west, that's what it says. What else does it say? As far as the east is from the west, hath he removed our transgressions. Who are you to remember them? Who are you to condemn yourself? If God says he's forgiven them, and you've gone to God and you've gotten them forgiven, and he's removed your transgressions as far as the east is from the west, who is anybody else to bring up your sin when God says, I've already forgiven it? Why are you going to let someone else say, you know what you did 2 years ago? You know what you did 2 days ago? You know what you said 1 hour ago? Why are you going to let somebody bring that up and shove it in your face? Who is that? You want me to tell you who it is? Watch. That's who it is. Perch himself on your shoulder, whisper in your ear. Why? But he wants to tell you contrary to what the word says. Like a father, verse 13, pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that what? Respects him. Look at verse 14. He knows our frame. He's God. He made our frame. He knows our frame. He remembereth that we are what? Dust. You know, you're working with a two-year-old. You're potty training the two-year-old. Now, if you get a normal human, intelligent, half-intelligent human being, they're going to understand that they're what? Working with a what? Two-year-old. They're not going to come out with a book from a PhD about the benefits of potty training and say, here, read this. How far is that going to get with the two-year-old? Going to get thrown back at you. Right. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it's what? He's gone. That's what man is. You know, we live, we flourish, and then you want to know one day, you read the obituary, so-and-so is gone. But here's what you got to do. What are you going to do from the point that you start to flourish to the point where they put you in the ground if Jesus Christ takes time on his return? How do you want to be remembered? What are you going to do for God? How are you going to serve God? How are you going to serve the man who bled for you? How are you going to serve the man who took the nails, who took the thorns, who took the beating for you? What are you going to do? Are you going to cower? Are you going to compromise? See, there are decisions that each one of us has to make, including myself. For as the wind passes over it, verse 16, and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness is unto children's children. Children's children. That means my children's children, in other words, my grandchildren, are extended the righteousness of God. Why? Because of my stand on God's word. Because of your stand on God's word. They extend that righteousness unto children's children. My children are blessed, and my grandchildren are blessed. Now, I don't even have them yet, but they're blessed because the scripture said so. And I'm teaching my grandchildren right now. That's right. I speak and I teach my grandchildren. I don't only teach my children, I think ahead. Because once I teach my children, I know that my children will teach their children. So in fact, I'm teaching my grandchildren. And you do the same. Righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, verse 18, and to those that remember his commandments, period. Is that what it says? No. Sorry. That remember his commandments and agree with them. No. That remember his commandments and say, it's okay, God said that. No, what's it say? That remember his commandments and what? To what? Do them. To what? Do them. Right? You're going to have a test class Monday, 8 o'clock. Study for it. You heard that. You remember that. But are you going to do it? Same with God. God says, this is my what? My word. This is what I want you to do. Now it's up to you. The blessings of God come to the obedient. You understand? when you do what the word says. The Lord, verse 19, hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all the earth. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his domain. Bless the Lord, O my soul. See the word all again? Let's close in the book of James tonight. So you see, life is too short to be on the fence. Hebrews James. Chapter 1. God doesn't want religion. He doesn't want ritual. He doesn't want pain and suffering and torture. That's not our God. Jesus Christ did all of that. God wants you to love him. And when you love someone, do you do the things that please them? That's all. See, it's that simple. Religion makes it all complicated. And so you know what happens? Religion doesn't teach the truth of God's word. So you know what they put in place of it? Rules and regulations. Look, I love my wife. Okay? Period. My wife doesn't have to tell me to provide for her. You understand? You know why she doesn't have to tell me that? Because I love her. So because I love her, you know what that means? I want to take care of her. I want to provide for her. I love my children. My children don't have to tell me, Daddy, bring home food, or Daddy, bring home a check so we can eat. Daddy, do this so we can have clothes or a roof over. No. You know why? Because I love them. So you know what I do? The outworking of my love is that I provide for them. You understand? It's the same with God. When you love God, God doesn't levy you with a whole bunch of rules and regulations. You know what he says? This is what he says. Love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do as you damn well please. That's what God says. Because when you are loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, are you going to be a good person? Are you going to cheat anybody? Because you know that's not a blessing. That's not going to be what's going to bless God, right? No. You going to do dumb things? No. Now, when you do dumb things, what do? Say you're sorry. And what's he going to do? How far is he going to forgive you? There you go. He doesn't want perfection. Why? Because he remembers our frame. He knows that we're what? Dust. He knows that. He's dealing with a bunch of two-year-olds. He's not dumb. He knows we're going to... What do? When the kid goes... You clean it up, right? You don't grab it by the scruff of its neck, smack it upside the head, say, what's the matter with you crapping in your pants too? Well, what do you think God does with us when we crap in our pants at 22? Or 32. I won't go there. Okay, or 42, my darling Cratchit. Okay. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. James chapter 1, verse 22. Can we read this together, please? Here we go. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22. What are we supposed to be? A what? Doer of the word. Not a what? Not just to hear. It's good to hear. But remember, it says God blesses them that hear his commandments, and then what? To do them. We're to be doers of the word, and not hearers. Because when we hear the word, and we don't do the word, you know what the scripture says? We're deceived. We trick ourselves. And when you trick yourself, when you deceive yourself, that's a tough place to get out of. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your love. Thanks for your forgiveness. And Father, may we see ourselves in the mirror of your word. May we see ourselves the way you see us. And we're so grateful for our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, for what he did, for being our substitution, and for how he loved us. And we thank you, Father, for these things in his precious name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless.